This is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, sometimes called the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Listen to these words from the gospel according to Luke. It's the 18th chapter. I begin at verse 9. It says this: Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying like this: God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. These words, just a few verses really, five verses from the gospel according to Luke, are for us this day the word of God, for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I'm about to turn 54 here in a couple months, sooner rather than later. And in my five decades, I've learned a thing or two about humility. Maybe it's true that the longer you live, the more humbled you get. And I'll admit, like many of us here, sometimes I have chosen the humble path. I have chosen humility for myself. I have chosen the humble course of action. And sometimes humility has chosen me. Sometimes it's just been thrust upon me. One of the stories that I have told from this pulpit before was about my first job in a church. I was a part-time youth director. Didn't really know much about working in a church yet. Certainly didn't know anything about youth ministry. But they were desperate and dumb enough to hire me, so I jumped in with both feet. And I was told at that church in Midlothian, Virginia, that the pastor's daughter was a really good singer. That's what I was told when I got there. And I didn't think much about that. It's not like she went around singing when we went on things. She didn't sing louder than the other kids if we were going on a trip and then we were listening to the radio. But the pastor and his wife invited me and my wife to go to her Midlothian High School's production of My Fair Lady, where she was Eliza Doolittle. And if you know anything about high school musicals, if you're going to do My Fair Lady, you got to have a good Eliza. It's one of the hardest parts for a high school young lady. It's a very demanding role. And y'all, when she started singing, I cried. And I knew right then at that moment, almost 30 years ago, that she would be better at that, using her God-given gift, than I would ever be at anything in my life. And she is. She is. She possessed genetic gifts back then, and she possesses them now that I know I'll never have. I was humbled by the beauty of what I saw. Fast forward 25 years or so, she's been in Vogue magazine, heralded as opera's next great star. She sings with symphony orchestras the world around. I once joked that around Christmas time, I sing Handel's Messiah in my shower. She sings it with the Boston Symphony Orchestra. I listen to her music now. She's had four albums come out. You know, she sings in French, Italian, German, English, and I'm still humbled. They just transcend these gifts. These humbling gifts transcend the normal limitations of most of us human beings. There's also the humility we choose. One of my favorite books is called It Never Rains in Tiger Stadium, which is an old LSU expression. And yes, the Tigers were humiliated last night, if you were watching. It's by a former player called John Ed Bradley, and it's his story about growing up in Louisiana and getting to play football at LSU. At the start of the book, he tells that his father would pull him aside as he was getting athletic accolades left and right and say to him, son, remember, always be humble. Always be humble. And this father, as you read the book, taught his son the goodness of patient service and decent living and living life in a living life in the way of humility. I think humility learned and practiced like this is actually essential to faithful living. Maybe the soul can only take so much of the humility that's forced upon us, but the chosen humility is essential to being a Christian human being, because it reminds us to never take our blessings for granted, to never rub our success in the face of somebody else, to never dance too long after you scored the touchdown or made the soccer goal or hit the home run or nailed the three-pointer at the buzzer to win the big game. If you get an award at work, you don't talk for 45 minutes. You say thank you and sit down quickly. That sort of stuff. Remember, always be humble. One of the best lessons of wisdom that we might share with one another, with our siblings, our spouses, with our children, our grandchildren. And that lesson, always be humble, is constantly under assault by our Instagram, Twitter, me first, look at me, selfie, celebrate all that I am, I alone deserve all the praise kind of culture. Now, there's a lot of that out there. We're eating up with it. Back to my long ago friend, Kate Lindsay, the now world famous mezzo-soprano. I like to think her humility is a result of her upbringing, Presbyterian from the cradle, weekly in youth group, even with a youth pastor that had no idea how to be a youth pastor. She sang in the youth choir at the church, the adult choir. About 12 years ago, she did an interview with one of the symphony magazines. They were having her come and sing with the symphony, and you know, they'll give an interview, meet the artist kind of thing. And they asked her, what advice would you have for young singers looking to perfect their craft? And she said, show up, be willing to fail, and then learn from it. Always show respect for your peers and colleagues. Remember that the person sitting next to you could be hiring you in a couple years' time. Striving for perfection will likely make you crazy, and generally perfection isn't all that interesting. Rather, maybe focus on your honest delivery in the marriage of text and music. And then she said, and remember to smile while you sing, because it's good for us. That's a kind of humility at its best, learned and chosen, and I think it's a quality, like I said, that most parents and grandparents pray is embedded and embodied by our children and is passed on to those who might follow. Yeah, I think that's one of our duties as leaders in our homes and in our community, is to try to promote humility at every turn. The irony of all this, of course, is that while we fully know the value of humility, it's awfully easy to forget. It's awfully easy to forget to put it into practice. This is why I think Jesus and Luke have kept this parable for us, this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, the Pharisee and the publican, and they ask us to be challenged by it, to consider it, and to be shaped by it. It's a parable that tells you exactly what it's about, the first verse. Then Jesus told a parable of those who thought too highly of themselves and who looked down on others. And it tells you exactly what the message is at the end with the Proverbs. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And in between it, we get two different people. It's a hyperbole. It's as far apart as they could possibly be. We get a Pharisee, who in their day were teachers of the law. They were a highly regarded group of men. Generally speaking, they gave Jesus a hard time in the pages of the gospel, but most people looked up to the Pharisees, and we've got a tax collector who was the least regarded kind of person in society. The person that you would walk to the other side of the street not to have to pass them on the sidewalk. Hyperbole, as far as we get. The Pharisee, do you remember his prayer? Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. If you never hear anything else I have to say as a pastor in this church, let me say this. Don't ever start a prayer like that. That's bad. I thank you that I'm not like other people, the ones who are committing sins. And then he says, I fast twice a week. That's not required anywhere in the law of Moses. It's nowhere in the Bible. It was a common custom in Jesus' day, but he's bragging on how righteous he is. Don't do that. Friends, don't do that. And then Jesus gives us the tax collector's prayer. He won't even look up to heaven. He's so humiliated about the life that he's chosen. And he's beating his breast and he says, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus says, that man was justified. That is the one who gets forgiven. I've already done it. It's really quick. It's really easy to pass judgment on the Pharisee. But the truth is, if I take my own life and I put it under a microscope, I can shudder sometimes. How many times did I think that I was better than somebody else? How many times have I sat in stern and self-righteous judgment of another person? Oh, he had it coming. How many times have I compared myself to someone less fortunate than I? How often have I valued my opinion of myself more than I have valued God's opinion of me? You see, the reality is, of course, that all we have to offer God really is ourselves, just as we are. And the reality is that God is the one in control of the world, and we are not. It is God who justifies, it is God who condemns. It is God who determines what is righteous or not, not us. We don't save ourselves. We can't justify or forgive ourselves. Only God gets to do these things. And when we compare our sinfulness to the majesty or the divinity of God, our sinfulness to God's righteousness, or even our powerlessness to the power of God, we are rightly to be humble. No matter the season of life or the events of our days, recent or past, the words of my dear, dear mentor, Jim McChesney, still ring true, and I think they're perfect for a day when we remember the lessons of the Reformation, when Jim McChesney used to say, we are never so bad on our worst days that we are beyond the reach of God's grace, and we're never so good on our best days that we're beyond the need of it. Always be humble. Always be humble. It all goes back to God. And only when we love God more than we love ourselves, or only when we are more devoted to pleasing God than we are to placing another accolade on the shelf or in the resume, only then can we understand God's love for us. Consider what Jonathan Edwards once said, that great American preacher of the time of the revival movement in the 18th century. He said, nothing sets a person so much out of the devil's reach as humility. Yeah, I agree with that. The more I read Luke's gospel, the more I think that this might be the telltale, tell-all, summative parable of Luke's gospel. In fact, the sermon title today is The True Wealth of Humility. But when I preached this before here, I called it the tell-all parable. That's the title of a previous sermon. It's Luke's way of telling us everything that we need to know about how to approach God. Because listing our accomplishments to God will not win points in the courts of the Almighty. Honesty about ourselves, laying our hearts and our lives at the feet of God's mercy, that will. Humility, whether it is learned or forced upon us, is at the center of the Christian life. And I would challenge us today to think of the people we most admire, either who are living now or who have gone before us. I would imagine that a common trait of all of them is a shared practice of attitude and humility. People who deflect praise. People who spoke of others before they mentioned self. I mean, I do admit I watch too much football, but my favorite thing is when they go to the Super Bowl winning quarterback, right? And they say, how'd you do it? And he said, I couldn't do it without the line. Which is true. Principal gets the accolade on the wall. Principal of the year. And they go to the principal and say, how'd you do it? And she says, I have a great team. St. Augustine, perhaps the finest Christian thinker and writer who ever lived, said it best, maybe. For those who would learn God's ways, humility is the first thing, humility is the second thing, and humility is the third thing. And that was true in the 4th century, and it's true now. That's been true a long time, and I suspect it'll be true a long time after I'm gone and can no longer speak of it. Like I said, today is Reformation Sunday. Some years we do it really big. We did it really big in 2017 for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Today it's a little more subtle. It's a little more low-key. But one of the things that the Reformation tried to teach us and that we have tried to pass down through generations of theological inheritance is that we know we should not think too highly of ourselves. We know. These black robes, you know why Presbyterian ministers generally wear black robes? Because it's supposed to deflect attention from what I'm wearing under here. It's supposed to be sort of just monochromatic, so you're not thinking about it. You know, remember what Jesus said about people wearing their finery and praying long prayers? He didn't like that either. Right? So deflect, deflect, deflect. We know that we shouldn't think too highly of ourselves. We know that one God is sovereign. God is in control. Not your church, not your pastor, not the headlines on the TV. God is the one who is in control. We also think about something called the priesthood of all believers, which is a way of saying that everybody's got a call and that the pastor's call is no more important than your call or your call or your call. God has put us all in this world to be of service to someone or something, and it's our job to be about doing it. We talk about relying upon Scripture before all else. It doesn't matter what the bishop says so much. It matters what the Bible says. When in doubt about what we should think or what we should do as a church, we deflect back to Scriptures. And the Scripture today is one that's pretty easy to interpret. Sometimes they're not so easy. Right? So the pastor can stand up and say with confidence, "Do not begin a prayer with, 'Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other people.'" We acknowledge that God is in control, that each of us has a call, and that means that none of us should claim any superiority. We remember the words of Jesus that the greatest of all will be the servant of all. We remember the words of Jesus that those who exalt themselves will be humbled and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Yes, my dear friends, we make missteps when we become obsessed with whoever gets the credit, when we become obsessed with all our accolades on the wall, because we eventually will fall prey to the deceit of serving ourselves at the expense of giving our time in service to our Savior. And so as you go through life this week, let us ask ourselves, do we lay our lives humbly at the feet of God Almighty? Do we trust God more than we trust ourselves? And do we trust enough? Do we trust enough in our own lives that God will provide, that we will share from our time, share from our resources, share with those around us, with the causes in the city that inspire us? Do we trust enough to be humble even when the world is telling you and us how good we are and how wonderful things are going? Remember this before I conclude, that the Pharisee and the tax collector, well, they both belong to God. The prima donna ballerina, the one who's so famous that people buy tickets to go see her, and the littlest girl in dance class on her first day, well, they both belong to God. The guy who throws his back out mowing the lawn and the world's strongest man, they both belong to God. The world-famous soprano and her former preacher that sings in the shower, we both belong to God too. And only in belonging to God can we fully learn. Only in belonging to God can we fully know. Only in belonging to God can we finally understand what it means to choose the path of humility. And when we choose that path, we've got a chance to be great. In fact, Jesus suggests that that may be the very thing that he notices, that is ultimately exalted. And when we please the Lord, well, that truly is the true wealth of humility. These things we offer in the name of God the Father, and of God the Son, and of God the Holy Spirit, this day and always. Amen. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord this day, friends. Go out into the world to live with humble hearts, humble souls, and humble minds, knowing that there is someone in need of your help this day, just as we might need to humble ourselves and ask someone else for their assistance in the days to come. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord and one another. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may we all be blessed until we meet again. Amen.